going on, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome into the Lineup Logic Podcast, the NBA Daily Fantasy Podcast, bringing you lineup construction ideas for the DFS slate to come on FanDuel. I am your host. I am Sean Kane, and we are ready for the Friday slate. Of course, we just came off of a nice, juicy five-gamer on a Thursday night, and now we're heading into a monster north of 10 games, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12-game slate in the NBA. Headline marquee matchup, so Houston at Golden State again, San Antonio at Oklahoma City, and of course everyone's favorite Philly at Cleveland. I'm kidding about that one. But some really nice Western Conference games, some real fucking throwaways in the Eastern Conference, to be honest. Some real nice games here in this 12-game slate. Definitely something to pay attention to. And of course, the Thursday slate was a good one for sure. Some massive numbers from some guys who were just kind of out of the blue. I mean, guys that we didn't talk about on the pod. And I feel bad. I missed it. Marcus Morris, I just didn't trust his minutes of late. And then Marcus Morris has a big one. Nico Mirotic has a big one, 28 and 10. Didn't really see that coming. And of course, the Laker-Minnesota game, we were all over that. We were all over Rubio. We were all over Rondo. We knew that was going to happen. Towns goes for a 50-burger against the Lake Show. Georgie Dang, love him. Tobias Harris, ugh, not much of a game there. And we're still working through this Houston-Portland game, and we're still working through this Clippers-Suns game. Moving along, you know, for me, I'm on the wrong side of the power forward debate with Georgie Dang and Nico Mirotic going absolutely bananas. I don't have shares of those guys. Toby Harris. So, hey, still got some work to be done here. Could really use some help from CJ McCollum. Really not doing anything for me. But hey, let's not waste too much time. We're going to break down the Friday night slate here. We got to talk spreads. We got to talk injury news. We're going to preview the night upcoming in DFS. You know, and I have on my man Josh Fern. Of course, you guys know on Fern Fridays here. But Fern, like, he used the word dysentery. He's not feeling so hot. So Fern took the night off. I brought on DFS Spectre and Kingsguard, friends of the pod, Ryan and Scott, friends of mine. So they are here to break down the slate with us and talk about this upcoming Friday slate. But before we do that, let's do a quick recap of the Thursday lineup. One of these nights. Okay, so, like I said, I could use a little bit of love here from some of these players, you know, but at the same time, I have a couple of things that are going well for us. You know, I locked in Ish and Chris Dunn at the top here. They did really nicely. Ish went 7x here, 37 points against Brooklyn. Chris Dunn did fine, went 5x against the LA. Was really pleased with his first half, and then just down the stretch didn't really do much. And of course, we were on Rubio and Rondo as our grout point guards. They did great work. And Dame was the stud, and Dame right now doing really, really well up at halftime of this game here. At shooting guard, it was Harden and CJ McCollum for me. McCollum is just kind of falling flat on his face right now. And shout out to Mark. Mark tweeted at me earlier today and was like, "Hey man, don't you think there's CJ maybe a little regression here?" And I was like, "Yeah, he just has such good matchup history with Houston." Sure enough, good call, Mark. Well done, sir. James Harden doing exactly kind of what you expect, 25 points at the half here. This is a really high scoring game, so you like maybe Harden to turn it up in the fourth or the third in the fourth quarter here. Andrew Wiggins and TJ Warren. TJ Warren not really doing much, but he's got a full quarter left that's going to be a competitive game down the stretch here. Devin Booker going off in the freaking Clippers game. really, really doing work right now. He is was under the radar for sure, and really, really doing good stuff. He has, I think, if I'm remembering, almost 30 points. Let me see this here. Devin Booker, oh my God, no, he has 70 points. I'm kidding. He has 27 points through three quarters. 11 of 19 shooting 50% from behind the arc. Two rebounds, nine assists with a steal. I mean, what? Devin Booker is going to win some people some money in some tournaments tonight. And nobody was on Devin Booker because he was questionable all the way up to the lock. So Wiggins does 5X. That's great. TJ Warren, not quite there yet. You know, if he gets us to 30, I'll be happy. Oh, he's just bumped up to 22 points. There you go, Tej. That a boy. Aminu and Harris are kind of meh. You know, with freaking Georgie and Nico doing great work, Aminu and Harris are really kind of not doing much at all. And then, of course, my boy Nurk Alert, the Nurk Monster, doing great work. 21 points at the half here. Absolutely doing great stuff. The thing I'm worried about Nurk is he's got three quick fouls in the first half. So, a little bit nervous about that because he's playing extremely well. I would hate for him to get an early foul in the third quarter and struggle to stay on the floor. Like, get me six to eight good minutes in the third quarter before you come out there, Nurk Monster. But, you know, I mean, really, it's really up to what CJ McCollum is going to do for me. I think, you know, if I can get CJ McCollum to go out and get me 30 points, which doesn't seem likely, but, you know, he's got to play better than he did in the first half. Then, you know, we should be able to get into 50-50s. It's not going to be much more than that for me tonight, though, guys. I mean, you know, I missed out on some of the guys who went 5 and 6X, which was silly because I was on them. I knew Rubio and Rondo were sharp plays. Just didn't play them. We'll see. But, hey, let's not waste too much more time. We have a Friday slate to break down, so let's jump into the spreads for tonight. All right, taking a look at the spreads that we have on 12 games. So I'm going to be fast here. I'll go quick for you guys. Denver at Charlotte, 224 over under. Charlotte favored by 2 at home. Like this game a lot for fantasy purposes. No serious injuries to consider. Healthy teams on both sides. Indiana at Toronto, 206 total here. Toronto favored by 7 at home. These teams just played 2 weeks ago, and Toronto mopped the floor with them. Toronto playing great basketball right now, very defensively efficient on both ends. So I think Toronto's got this one. And man, to Indiana, that would be a bad run for them. I'd be dropping maybe into the 8 seed if they lose that game and Miami wins again. Philadelphia, Cleveland, 219 total here. Cleveland favored by 10, but Cleveland on a bad run too. Loses to Chicago on the road here. Can't get anything done offensively. Nothing going for them. Nothing good. No serious injuries here, but you got to think that they want the big three out there to get some good run in this one and try to make sure they seal up a W because they're now a whole game and a half behind Orlando, or excuse me, behind Boston. Orlando at Boston, 216 total here. Boston favored by 11 at home. Should be a nice, easy game for Boston to take good hold of in the first three quarters, rest their starters come the fourth quarter. They've handled Orlando really well this year in two or three previous matchups, I believe. New York at Miami, no line out in this one. Waiting on news about Carmelo and Derrick Rose. But obviously Miami will be favored. They'll be favored at home. So I would look for probably, my guess would be spread near the 210 range. And then Miami favored by about 6 at a minimum. And we'll see that line. But, you know, obviously Miami in a much better spot than New York right now as far as just the way their season's going. So Detroit and Milwaukee, 199 total here. Milwaukee playing a real slow brand of basketball, and you can see it reflected in their totals recently. Milwaukee favored by 7 in what is just a real slogger here, real slow game against Detroit, who is a very slow team in general. Dallas at Memphis, 192 total in this one. Memphis favored by 4 at home. Another real slow, low total game. Not great for fantasy purposes. Don't know how much exposure you want to have to this one. But, you know, we're looking to see if Marc Gasol gets back out there. That's interesting to see what's going to happen to the Memphis rotation. We want to see what happens there. You know, healthy Marc Gasol, is he going to make it back in time for the playoffs? What's his status? That kind of stuff I'm interested in figuring out. Then you have Sacramento at New Orleans, 209 total. New Orleans favored by 9. The Marcus Cousins revenge game, gotta love it. Gotta love the Boogie revenge game. Absolutely in play here. Love me some Boogie. Washington at Utah, they've got no total here. Got a lot of question marks in this one. You know, the George Hill, Gordon Hayward also probably going to play, obviously, but still nursing that thigh bruise. The George Hill groin injury is interesting, though. Washington just playing some huge pace, huge total games recently, really, really playing fast. So you got to think that Utah is going to try to slow them down a little bit. I'd be interested to see how Washington matches up with Utah. Very different styles. San Antonio at Oklahoma City, 207 total here. San Antonio favored by 2 on the road. This is an interesting game, but I think that San Antonio controls this one pretty easily, even though they're on the road. We did see the way that San Antonio got handled by Golden State the other night. So, you know, not guarantee that San Antonio controls this game perfectly in this situation. So Houston at Golden State, 228 total here. Golden State obviously favored by 7 at home. They had a rematch of what they just had last week. You know, Golden State definitely has Houston's number, and you gotta love Golden State at home in Oracle. And, 7 is a decent spread for them in this situation. It's not disrespectful to Houston, but I do think Golden State has the edge in this one. So that's what we got, 12 games. You know, like I said, some kind of mediocre Eastern Conference games, some games that I'm not really interested in. I mean, as far as just fantasy purposes, I'm not really touching too many shares of Washington, Utah, or Dallas, Memphis, Detroit, Milwaukee. Those games not really that interesting to me. So I think, you know, you can kind of eliminate 4 games from this slate and then concentrate your efforts on Denver, Charlotte, Philly, Cleveland, even maybe some Indiana, Toronto. I don't know. That's a slow game too. Orlando, Boston is a good one. Sacramento, New Orleans, and then San Antonio and the Houston game. Those 2 games should be interesting as well. But that's about it, honestly. That's about it for me. That's all I'm really interested in. So, limiting our player pool is always a useful way to feel like, you know, you don't have to worry about too many different guys in too many different spots. So we can definitely, you know, narrow our focus a little bit here on this slate and maybe make it an 8-game slate, not a 12-game slate. All right. Well, that is it. So let's go ahead and take a second, jump into the player breakdown and figure out which players. Who do you love? All right, let's jump into the player breakdown. Normally on the Friday pod, I have my compadre in arms, Professor Josh Fernandez, Esquire, with me. But of course, now I have the other Knights of the Round Table here. DFS Spectre, DFS Kingsguard, better known as Ryan and Scott. Guys, how we doing?
I'm good, man.
Feeling good, man. Happy to be good.
On. Good, good, good. I'm glad you guys were able to fill in for Fern. Fern is apparently he suggested his entire home has dysentery. I hope it's not completely true because he has small children.
I was thinking he was living on the Oregon Trail or something.
Yeah.
I was going to say I've died on the Oregon Trail many times from that, so I hope that he has something that's not quite as bad.
Yeah, I don't think he has dysentery, but yeah, I'm not really sure what he's got, to be honest with you. Something has taken Fern down for the count. So you guys are here to back him up. I appreciate it. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to sort through the top of the slate, the studs on the top of the slate. Then we'll go into the mid-tier, the grout. We'll talk about some value plays. And then we will do the famous, also famous centers of the round table segment, in which we discuss our favorite centers on the Friday slate. So Ryan, you're going to jump in, or Scott, you're going to jump into point guard, right?
Yeah, I got point guard, and
all right.
You know, there's a whole bunch of options up at the top. You know, you got a large slate there, but my point guard, my stud, is going to be Steph Curry, 10,200. In the last meeting against the Rockets, he had 52.5 FanDuel points, and that was just this past Tuesday. I know Spectre hates when I do the last time they played narrative, but I mean, it's the most recent data we got. But Steph has kind of been heating up here, especially in the last seven games, averaging about 45.4 in his last seven games, with a floor of 31, ceiling of 62. And, you know, Houston, over the last 10 games, they've not been doing great statistically against the point guard. I mean, I'm sure that Steph 52-pointer didn't help, but they're the seventh worst in the last 10 games. So I'm pretty confident that Steph's going to go off here. And, you know, there's all the MVP narrative stuff. I know it's kind of silly, but I mean, if these two teams play their starters and they don't rest because they're kind of both locked in, I think, you know, Steph and the Beard are going to be trying to one-up each other. And kind of lastly, you know, that late-night hammer, you know, Houston and Golden State's the last game on the slate. Could jump way up above a bunch of those teams that have all their players that have played. So I'm pretty confident that, you know, Steph's a great play here.
Yeah, I like that call a lot. Steph is really, really, really heating up. Like, the peripherals and the last... I mean, he's taking the same number of shots. He's not really doing a ton more scoring. But the assists have jumped by two. The steals are up for him. It's clear that he's, like, really turning it on in the last couple games. And you gotta love Steph at Oracle on a Friday night in a nationally televised game. I mean, that's just kind of recipe for, you know, him to really start to cook, which could just be disaster for Houston if he just goes off in the first half. So I love that situation for Steph Curry. And I've been waiting to get back on Steph Curry. I don't know. Have you guys had shares of Steph Curry while he was recently hot?
Very minimal. But he's always so expensive. But when he dipped down below 10, I was getting in on him more. And I guess that would be the only one thing to point out, is that if it does turn into a Golden State blowout, that could be a potential little risk, since, you know, who knows if, since Golden State's going to be the one seed, Houston's going to be the three, maybe they pull them. But I mean, that's highly unlikely, but, you know, definitely something to be considered.
Good call. Good call. Yeah. I don't know necessarily. I mean, I think that they're feeling themselves a little bit of rhythm there. Any thought about the rest there, Ryan?
I think I had shares of Steph recently on the night that I think I only had like one of the things I like to do is I like to hedge my main slate lineups with doing a couple like express ones, because you get the narrowed down player pool, all the research you've done all day gets narrowed down, you know, you cut out X amount of the guys that are available in the main slate, and you get narrowed down to a smaller slate, and it gives you like a little more confidence. And usually if you really did the research and you feel good about the guys and you get it, like, I mean, it really does, it does work out. Especially in, if you get a middle of the night slate, like a, like 9 o'clock late night slate, and you like do some double ups with like a bunch of the guys that you were on all day.
Yeah.
I kind of hedge that way rather than hedging in the same, like if it's a big slate, I don't like to hedge too much in the main slate, but I like to do it in a late night slate where you have like a smaller variety of options and you have like a slightly better chance, I guess, I suppose, in that regard of hitting. So I had some shares of Steph like in one of those games recently where I think he hit like 55 and he was in like a hammer situation. But as far as rest goes, I guess, I mean, that would be the tomorrow. I'm not sure that it seems like with all the MVP discussion, it's kind of all these guys want to play right now. And against they're right now favored by 7.5. The over-under's gone up since it opened. I don't think Steph will sit here, but I don't think, unless something goes wrong with Harden, I don't think anybody else sit. It would be a surprise to me, but it's something that's worth considering, definitely.
Yeah, and it's definitely not just like sitting out the game. It's more so if it's a blowout, if they'll pull him off the court a little early or not.
Sure, I think Harden will work to keep it close, especially. I remember Steph said that thing like Harden deserves to be the MVP over Russ, I believe, and I think I can't imagine Harden would let that fall in the match against Steph. Kind of, it's like a narrative thing, yeah. But you know, it's just a thing worth thinking about.
Well, and the honestly, Golden State has kind of owned Houston this year in a couple different games, and you got to think that there's a way for them. You know, they've got to try to bounce back and regain a little of that momentum. I'm going to talk about shooting guard. You know, and we do have a Harden up there at 12-5. You know, and you love Harden in a pace-up game and a big headline game. But I honestly, you know, and I talked about this on the pod the other day, like Golden State's defense is just as good as the Spurs are in the advanced metrics, basically. You know, they are literally right behind the Spurs as far as defensive efficiency goes. And we wouldn't necessarily be thrilled about playing James Harden against the Spurs. And I don't know that we should be thrilled about playing James Harden against the Thunder. I mean, or excuse me, the Warriors. I mean, look at what they did to Kawhi last night. 19 points in the first quarter, or fantasy points in the first quarter, and then all of a sudden 12 points for the rest of the game. When they decide to figure out how to stop a certain player, they can do it. It's one of the most deadly defenses there is. Giannis, limited upside, I think, right now. I heard a stat recently that the Bucks are basically playing at like almost the same pace as the Utah Jazz, really slowing things down. And
yeah, they slowed down, didn't they?
Yeah, they really have. They're really, really, really slowing things down, which I think has allowed them to concentrate on their defense, honestly. And, you know, it's clearly working for them. They're playing great ball. So I'm interested in DeMar. DeMar at 9-2. I think that this is a good competitive Eastern Conference game. Raptors, Pacers. Pacers are going to bring it. They're at home. You know, the Raptors are on the road. DeMar's been playing really, really consistently. Hit at least 40 points in four of the last five games. Indy, bottom 10 in DVP to the shooting guard. You know, he's obviously got the highest usage on the team. We know that. I just think that as far as a high-priced shooting guard, DeMar DeRozan's probably the most likely that I see going 5X. Yeah, Harden at his price. You know, I mean,
I totally agree with you. Harden's definitely on a second night of a back-to-back.
Yeah, second night of a back-to-back, you know, against a really high-quality defensive team. Giannis, pace-down situation here, still above 10K. You know, I just don't really see a lot of upside there in Detroit for Giannis. So let's go to DeMar and just take 42 points here maybe and move on. He shot 47% against them in the earlier matchup in March. He played extremely well, but the whole starting lineup played extremely well. And they basically controlled that game by the second half. And he sat in the whole fourth quarter. He didn't play. He only played 29 minutes. You know, so he had 30 fantasy points in 29 minutes and then sits the whole fourth quarter. I think, you know, if you get full minutes from DeMar DeRozan in that situation, he easily gets himself up to 40 fantasy points the way he plays. So, you know, I have no problem with DeMar DeRozan. I think a lot of people are kind of been bearish on him lately just because they sometimes see a limited ceiling, but I feel like he's been a really good cash game asset. 40 points at a price that's 9-2 feels really, really sharp. So I'm okay with DeRozan if we're paying up at shooting guard, but I do like the mid-tier as well.
Looking over the small forward real quick up at the top, I totally agree with DeRozan. I mean, I feel like he's been heating up a little bit of late. Like, he hasn't been putting up as much, like, 20 burgers, so to speak, where you're just like, I had paid 9K for him to do nothing. You know, I feel with the recent injuries and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, the recent injuries and stuff. I mean, Carroll is back, but I mean, I feel like down the stretch here, they're going to pound DeMar going into the playoffs, get him ready, get him hot.
Yeah, I hear that. All right, Scott, you're jumping into small forward here, studs.
I'm doing small forward.
You're not doing small forward? Whoa, wait.
I am. Spectre is.
Sorry, Ryan.
Ryan.
I
said
Scott. I meant Ryan.
You want to say Spectre. I know. It's okay.
I should have said Spectre. I should have just said Spectre, go. Go. In fact, go, Spectre. What do you got for small forward?
All right. I have, at the top, we have LeBron, Kawhi, and Paul George. Immediately, I when I think of Paul George in this situation, I picture both PJ Tucker and Serge, and I kind of immediately think, no, I'd rather not. Not in this regard, and definitely not for 8,900 in that situation. Kawhi, I kind of like this matchup because, and I guess it's borderline a narrative perspective, is Kawhi at Westbrook is just kind of a, you know, I feel like they could sort of be, have that, you know, MVP thing in mind. I don't think, I don't want to think that like Pop would sit anybody. It's like the line is -1. If the Spurs are favored by one right now, and the over under has gone up a point since it opened, which is kind of surprising. And I think it'll be super intense, competitive game. Kawhi is not gonna, Pop will play him in this situation. And I think that just by like a morale standpoint, I think in the past 10 games, Oklahoma City's given up the 11th most points to the small forward in the past 10. One of these past matchups, Kawhi only had 24.4 fantasy points, FanDuel points against Oklahoma City, but he only played 26 minutes. And I think Westbrook went off. But the time before that, he played 36 minutes. It was a little more competitive, and he had 52.6. So two very different scores, but I'm still fine with it. I think that if there's a time for him to really kick it into gear, it would be now. And then you have LeBron at Philly, which, I mean, if you want to talk consistency and FanDuel points, the two meetings this season so far, FanDuel points, LeBron has had 54.5 and 54.6 FanDuel points against Philadelphia. So, I mean, you know what to expect. I don't think he'll rest. I think he's fine. Philadelphia is the fifth fastest pace in the last 10, and they've I just see LeBron will be fine. But for me, I think just based purely on the matchup and the sort of the morale that is probably running through the veins of Kawhi and Westbrook, I think I would probably go Kawhi here just as a in a competitive game with such a close with Vegas sees it being so close, the over-under's going up, and I'm on board for that.
I hear that. The only caveat that I would throw at you is the only twist that I would throw on this, I guess, is the need for the Cavs to get a win. Like, they are in desperate shape right now. Just lost to the Bulls by 8 points.
Happened. I didn't see that yet.
Oh yeah, it's over. It's over.
And they're fighting with Boston too for that, you know, number one overall seed. Not to steal what you're probably most likely going to just say, but I mean, I would personally go LeBron. I mean, I loved everything you're saying about Kawhi, but when you brought up the 54.5, 54.6, you know, I'm expecting a nice 54.7 tomorrow.
Yeah, and maybe this is a situation if we find enough value that we can squeeze both of them in. I mean, that would be exciting.
Here's a question for you, Spectre. Okay, are you as worried about the Thunder as I am and the quality of their play recently?
I would say yes. I really of all of them, obviously, it's totally, the whole team is dependent on Westbrook. And I am worried about, I'm not worried necessarily about the quality of their play from a fantasy point of view, as far as Westbrook goes. And like the other night when Steven Adams was, what, 40, 4,900, and it was kind of like a situation where it made a lot of sense to play him. I'm not worried about them from a fantasy point of view. I think that in certain positions you can still play Roberson, you can still play Adams, you can still play obviously Westbrook, and overall, like, I guess I'm not worried about their performance from a fantasy perspective. But what are you thinking, like, in a season and like a real life perspective? Like, what's your point?
I'm worried about the quality of play. And the reason that I say that is, you know, you go down 21 points to the Magic on the road. Okay. Like, how the fuck does that happen? And then you have to play the Spurs, you know, like you have to play the Spurs. The Spurs are not the Magic. Like, there is a scenario in which Pop figures out how to shut down Russell Westbrook here, and the Thunder just crawl into themselves and die in this matchup and have absolutely nothing, you know. And that's the situation when you hate Kawhi, when he doesn't have to play the fourth quarter, right? He gets 28 minutes, game is over, yep. You know.
So, totally. And guys like Victor Oladipo haven't really been playing well. I mean, he got like 20 points yesterday in a juicy matchup and only 6K. I mean, I definitely fell into that hole. But I would totally agree with you in terms of actual basketball play. You know, I would have thought that they would have, you know, been a little bit more cohesive as a unit after losing Durant. But it's almost like they are still like just looking at Russell and being like, oh, hey, like triple double, like let's go win us the game. Yeah. And like they still haven't, I feel like, become into an actual title contender.
No.
In terms of their quality of play.
Honestly, I don't even know if they're a top four. Anyway, this is another basketball discussion. This is another time. We'll talk Western Conference another time. Let's talk about power forward. Sorry. Power forward, the stud that I have right up here. Obviously, Anthony Davis is up there against Sacramento, which is a wonderful matchup. But here's the reason. The only reason that I wouldn't play Anthony Davis against Sacramento, guys, is Boogie. Honestly, it's Boogie. It's just Boogie revenge game narrative that Boogie's going to be like, listen, bro, I just want you to give me the ball every time. And Anthony Davis is going to be like, that's fine with me. We're not playing for anything of importance. You can shoot it every time. That's fine.
And you know, like, they're totally friends, too, and they get along on, like a personal level. Like, you know that they'll totally, like, be a chummy with each other, and I'm sure AD would easily be like, oh, yeah, dude, of course, I'm just going to feed you the whole night.
Yeah.
And Boogie would request that, too, because...
Exactly. He has no problem with the revenge game. So I gotta side with my man Jokic here. Now, I don't know if you need Jokic at 10K. I gotta be honest with you. Jokic at 10K against Charlotte, though. I mean, it's Charlotte. Charlotte has been, you know, pretty rough in the front court, to be honest with you, and particularly below average against the center. Jokic already played them once this year. He had 51. They're allowing 54 points to the center in the last five games. So they've given up some big games to some really high talent centers. You know, one previous game, or sorry, I mentioned this. Jokic had 51 against them earlier in February when Hornets were on that road trip out there out west, and they came and visited them. You know, the only difference there was that Jokic was like one of the only guys in the lineup at the time. They had a pretty like short rotation, and I think that there is like, to some degree, there is limited upside with Jokic in this rotation. With everybody there, with Darrell Arthur healthy, with Kenneth Faried healthy, with Mason Plumlee healthy, everybody healthy, you got to wonder how many minutes Jokic is going to get. Gallo, Chandler, everybody. You know, I think 40 points is what I'm worried about. We've seen his price slowly drop. He's only gotten 50 in a couple weeks, or once in the last week, which was against the Pacers, who are, you know, just terrible on the interior. But, I don't know. Where are you guys at with Jokic against Charlotte, or centers against Charlotte in general?
I'm okay with playing Jokic tomorrow. You know, not only do I tend to look at the numbers, but I look at the guys they're going against. And, I mean, I just don't feel like Cody Zeller or Mason Plumlee is going to be able to, you know, put their foot down and absolutely stop Jokic. The only concern, though, is if he plays, you know, full minutes. But, you know, I think Denver is one game out of a playoff spot right now. So I don't see any reason why they wouldn't keep him in as long as possible to ensure the W.
I think that's fair.
I'm with you on that.
Okay, nice. All right, we're going to skip top-tier centers, although we already alluded to my favorite. Let's go into the fantasy grout here. Let's talk about we're going to give two options here for mid-price guys, you know, anywhere between 5 and 8K, flexible numbers in this mid-range here. Scott, you have point guard. Is that correct?
That is correct. And speaking of a flexible price range, I thought it was 8,500, but, you know.
That works.
That's where I am right now with Isaiah Thomas. You know, my grout number one, so to speak. You know, kind of going to that LeBron needing a win narrative. The Celtics definitely need a win in Orlando. You know, I'm sure they want that home court throughout the playoffs. And so I think that even if it is a blowout against the Magic, that all of Boston starters will see a regular amount of minutes to ensure that W. Orlando all year has been not good against the point guard. They're the sixth worst on the season and actually second most FanDuel points per game in the last 10 games to point guards. So I could totally see IT going off for 50. He did put up 44.1 in their last matchup. He played under 30 minutes. It was a blowout. It was 128-98. And he still put up, you know, 44.1 points. So I'm confident that even if his minutes go down a little bit, he'll still put up. And in terms of my other grout, I'm going Kemba Walker. I mean, Denver is such a juicy matchup against the point guard. And, you know, Charlotte is on the verge of being knocked out of the playoffs, but they're still only three back. I mean, if they get hot, and the Pacers are the eighth seed, so I think they would have to jump the Bulls and another team, but they're still in it. So I don't think that, like, any of the starters being benched would be a concern at all. And Kemba did have 42.8 on March 4th against him. You know, 27 points, 4 boards, 4 assists. And in that game, Batum had 8 assists. So since Batum hasn't been as on fire of late, you know, some of those assists may go Kemba's way. So I'm most definitely going to be rolling out a Kemba IT line and then building around that.
I always love playing Kemba Walker because, you know, he just has the potential. He always has the potential for going, you know, above value and always going under-owned. And I think you have a great price and a great matchup here at 7-6. And, you know, I mean, people aren't really always excited about a 7-6 point guard, you know, who isn't maybe in the playoffs. But he just put up a 50 spot on Sunday against Phoenix. He's clearly still capable of going, you know, full tilt against these guys. So, yeah, I hear you on Kemba. I'm all in on Kemba Walker as well. I like that call a lot. You know, I think similarly, I'm looking at the same front court or same backcourt, honestly, at shooting guard. Nick Batum and Avery Bradley, two guys who are in, you know, similarly good priced situations, similar matchups, because, you know, you attack Denver in the front court, you attack Denver in the backcourt, you attack Orlando in the backcourt. Nick Batum, 6'3", his price just keeps dropping. Avery Bradley, 6'2". You know, I don't mind either of these guys in cash games, to be completely honest with you. I think that they're both really in solid situations. You know, looking at what that we know they're capable of, you know, these are both guys with 30 minutes, 30 points on a regular basis. You know, but Batum, we know, has a 40-point ceiling. He's been priced as high as like 7.5, 7.6 this season. And Avery Bradley also really, really, really capable of going off. He has, you know, a 38-point game in his most recent last five. So I like both of these guys to get good, solid minutes in this situation, stuff the stat sheet, do more than just score. You know, I think their floors are safely around 24 points. Batum had 33 against the Nuggets this year. Bradley had 35 against the Magic. You know, so you take that 24 points and you kind of flex up to what you see a perfect 5X there. They've already done that against these teams. You know, my concern is, and I don't know if you guys see this, is like given the salary, it's very possible that both of these guys just go for like 26 and they underperform and they don't hit that 30-point mark. What do you think about that? I mean, does that concern you?
That would be my concern with Avery because for me, he's kind of dependent on the steals, you know, and the rebounds. Like if he's cold shooting, it's most likely not going to be a great night. But I mean, he can get hot and go off. But I mean, you're going to really need him to pull in those peripheral stats to get to value, I think.
Yeah.
There's one thing I wanted to point out at shooting guard. One guy I noticed for a few different reasons that's very not physically attractive, but fantasy attractive is Gary Harris, who I mean is not only benefiting from. I see Will Barton is a game time decision with a foot. He tweaked it, and it seems like he's probably not going to play based on the way they're talking about it, saying it likely won't be a multi-game absence. They're saying it doesn't seem to be too serious, but it was clearly an issue, and so that leaves Gary Harris at shooting guard. And then in the past 10 games, Charlotte has given up the fifth most points to the shooting guard and the ninth most points, like real-life points to the shooting guard, fifth most FanDuel points to the shooting guard in the last 10 games, which leaves Gary Harris sitting alone in that regard in a game that is set with a, you know, a 220 over-under, high over-under, could be huge minutes for Gary Harris, especially if Barton sits out. So that's just definitely worth making note of. And I think that I'll probably have Gary Harris a lot tomorrow, even if Barton plays, because if he's sensitive at all, I'm sure they'll limit him slightly. So I like Gary Harris a lot.
Yeah, I like that too.
Yeah, I think that's a good call. And you actually maybe, you know, interestingly enough, that may open up shares too for like maybe some Gallo and Chandler too. We'd have to run the numbers on usage and stuff like that. But Gallo, I know. Gallo and Chandler sometimes will slide up to the two if they want to run both of those guys out there. They feel comfortable doing that at times. So that's a really good call.
I'm actually going to get into that too because Gallo and Chandler are small forwards, and that's the position that I have.
Nice.
Well, so can I jump into it? Can I jump into it?
Do it. Jump.
You got this, Spectre.
All right. So with Gallo and Chandler, the issue for me obviously is always picking between the two of them because – it's kind of like one of them does a lot and one of them does like, that's not really what I wanted. So the thing is, like, tomorrow is one of those situations where they're priced, they're literally $100 apart. Charlotte has given up the sixth most points, FanDuel points to the small forward in the past 10 games. So it really leaves them it's really a coin flip. And what I would be doing, and especially since I don't think I would use them in cash just because of how much of a crapshoot it is. But in GPPs, if I play either of them, I'll hedge the lineup with the exact same lineup, just swapping out Gallo for Chandler or vice versa. But there's some interesting other guys at small forward if you're not all in on the Nuggets here. And that's a couple of people I really like are in the Grout area. Iguodala is really interesting to me because Golden State in that huge, huge over-under game right now. In the last 10 games, Houston's allowed the third most points to the small forward and the fourth most on the season. So that's a pretty consistent stat for you. I know Iggy will be out there a ton. That's one, and I know that this is a really interesting thing. The matchup, and I like both these guys as small forward tomorrow, is Marcus Morris and Chris Middleton. Obviously, all season forwards at the Bucks has been a thing, and I still support that. And I think the last time Marcus Morris played them, he put up 35 FanDuel points. He's really cheap right now. I don't know if he got priced up for tomorrow. He's still 4,900. Like, that's, I mean, 4,900 at the Bucks. I think their defense must have gotten a bump when Middleton came back, because
because
Middleton, and I swear this is a really weird thing that I just found. So in the last 10 games, FanDuel points, we're talking FanDuel points. In the last 10 games, the Pistons have allowed the most FanDuel points to the small forward. So that points me to Middleton. And in the last 10 games, the Bucks have allowed the least FanDuel points to the small forward, which is the opposite of what we've been thinking.
And I think you might have missed Marcus Morris's night. I think he put up 43 tonight. Might be one night too late.
Yeah, he had a fit. I mean, how many minutes did he play? I mean, do you think that he'll take it easy tomorrow? I really don't know. I didn't see the results of the night yet. He played 37 minutes tonight. Back to backs, it looks like he's kind of been okay. I wouldn't be too worried about it, but I guess that makes me like Middleton more given the last 10 games. So I guess Middleton would be my big pick tomorrow, given the last 10 game points allowed to the small forward. Pistons apparently allowing the most points to the small forward in the last 10 games, and the most points to the small forward in the last 5 games.
Hey, Ryan, if you're going to pick one, though, of Danilo and Wilson Chandler, like, I'm only building one line. is one more viable for cash and one more viable for GPP? Or do you know who you'd go there? Because I don't like both of them.
I guess in that situation, I'd probably need to go back and see kind of how they've performed against the Hornets, like in the past, and I haven't done that yet. But I do know that overall, like I've been personally very bad at picking which one of them. Like any night that I pick one and I play one and I don't play the other one will do wonderful. And any night that I play both, I have a little bit more luck because regardless, no matter which one goes off, you get it. I mean, you just have to take the hit on whichever one doesn't on the other lineup. So. I don't have a prediction yet, but I'll think about it.
All right. Yeah. I mean, I you want me to make this even more complicated for you? They both played Charlotte in their previous matchup, and Gallo got 33 minutes and 30 fantasy points, and Wilson Chandler got 22 minutes and 16 fantasy points. So that's really not much use there, that data point. All right, let's think about the power forwards at Grout here. And I may need your input, gentlemen, on a second one, but I'm going to give you the first one because it's a fucking layup. It's James Johnson, 6'3", at the Knicks. He has just been absolutely excellent. He hasn't been absolutely excellent. He had a terrible game. He totally let us down in one game last week.
That was his role.
Oh, my God. That was so depressing. But he had an amazing game last night, and I talked about him on the show. He had the Knicks, and obviously we love front court against the Knicks. James Johnson, no exception, did James Johnson thing. 6K price, went for almost 40 points. I really don't think we don't have any reason not to go back to the well here. They're one of the worst rebounding front courts in the league, one of the worst scoring front courts in the league. They allow so much scoring. He's got the highest usage behind Dragic with no waiters. He does it all. He had 18, 7, and 4, and then he had 3 blocks and 2 steals. That's amazing. You love that. That's why you pay for James Johnson. He's got the Knicks again. I just don't see any reason not to play him at 6'3". It's just a cash game. It's perfect. Perfect cash game pricing, perfect cash game lock for 5X. I want to say that we can go to a guy like Marv, but honestly, Denver, one of the best rebounding teams in the league, I don't really like that. You know, and that kind of eliminates Frank the Tank for me as well. I don't, and I'll ask you guys, take a look down here. I don't know that we can do any of these other 5 or 6K guys with any serious confidence. I mean, Willie Cauley-Stein has to play the front court of New Orleans. Rashawn Holmes limited minutes in the last couple games. You know, Zach Randolph worn down. Got to think that maybe Zebo gets some rest finally against Dallas. Pace down into Dallas, you know, pace down Dallas, Memphis. That's a terrible pace game. Enes Kanter against the Spurs, no way. Tobias Harris, never know when to play him. You know, I mean, maybe Aaron Gordon. Are we comfortable with Aaron Gordon here in this situation against the Boston front court?
I'm never confident in Aaron Gordon.
Yeah, that's
just absolutely me, though. I mean, the one thing I could see maybe out of this list would be Serge Ibaka. I mean, Randolph just put up 27.7 up against Indy, and Indy is kind of reeling right now. I know Thad, even though he, you know, has been heating up lately and usually does nothing, but I know he's really good at defense. So, but still, I mean, if old man Zebo can do it, I mean, Ibaka might have a chance to go off.
I did think Ibaka. I just think Ibaka's price is not that juicy.
Yeah.
Like 5'7 for 24 points. You know, yeah, I don't know.
I agree. And it, all the other guys, I mean, maybe Willie Cauley wants to show Boogie like who's boss. Unlikely, but I mean, there's a potential there. And out of the list, I mean, Serge would be the only play, but I wouldn't. Yeah, I wouldn't do that. Although Boston is terrible against, you know, with rebounding. So I guess trying to put my biases aside, Aaron Gordon could be a logical play at 52, especially since the last three games he's over 20. So
I like Aaron Gordon, and I always want to feel really comfortable playing someone named Serge, but I never am. And I think that something that's interesting that just jumped out at me a little bit for tomorrow is Orlando in the past 10 games giving up the third most FanDuel points to the power forward, which kind of leaves you, if you, I know you're in the Grout area, and I'm dunking down slightly into the bargain basement here, and I agree with you, there's really not much up here that I'm thrilled about. Fareed has he's just kind of a badass, and he just sort of like heated up again a couple of days ago. So he's like always, he's kind of like a tempting play there. But I think I might pay down for Amir Johnson if Orlando's giving up the third most in the past 10 games fantasy points to the power forward, then I like that as a value play. But as far as the Grout goes, I don't see too much in this area. Dallas and Memphis seems like it might be the slowest game of the year. I guess that's kind of all I would do. I mean, forwards at Milwaukee, Tobias Harris is slightly interesting. They only played him 25 minutes tonight. So that's, I guess, a possibility. But I don't think I'll be dancing around down here too much.
All right. Power forward's a shit show. Maybe we just spend up. And honestly, we think that this is the Kevin Love game.
Maybe yeah, this it is could the be.
Kevin Love bounce back game. And
you know
and,
what else? The Willie Cauley-Stein narrative against Boogie.
Oh, that's so narrative street. I just I would be the other side, dude. Just give me the other side.
Well, I'll play Boogie too, but he's only 5,900. Willie Cauley-Stein, and he can run around.
They're both from Kentucky, right? I think they might actually be friends.
They're probably not friends.
They're probably not friends, guys. I'm pretty sure that I don't know how many friends Boogie has left in Sacramento. All right, let's dive into the bargain basement here. We're looking in this 5K price range. Let's try to grab one or two guys down here in the bargain basement that we feel like you could roll out tonight. Point guard, what do you got, Scott?
You got it. I'm obviously not good with the pricing, so I'm going a guy at 5'1". I mean, it's a little over 5, but I think we'll manage. Jameer Nelson, I don't really like much of the value plays at point guard. I think it's just way smarter to pay up you know, Kemba, IT, Steph. You know, there are a lot of other options there too tomorrow. So, I mean, I'm personally, Jameer Nelson's coming off a 31-point game against Portland, and I feel that Denver, as I previously mentioned, they're one game out of the eighth seed behind Portland. So coming down the stretch here, I don't know how much they'll rely on, you know, rookie Jamal Murray. I mean, he had 11 minutes last game in a playoff-style matchup. So I feel like Jameer's going to get the run. If he gets hot with the shot, then he'll be good. So, you know, I like that. My true value point guard, and, you know, they're two kind of lottery tickets, but for some reason, I like DeLon Wright, Raptors backup point guard. He's at 3,600. Out of the past four games, three of them, he's hit 5X. Like one of the days, it was like 0.4 off of 5X, but just about 5X. He's getting run. He was injured early in the season. That's why he didn't put up much stats early on, and he's still minimum. But if you're looking for a guy around Mensah or 3,600, I mean, he has the potential for like a 22, 23-point game. He does do a lot of the peripherals. It's not just points. He gets steals, blocks, assists. So he's like kind of on the old sheet, we had the lottery ticket slot. I'd be sliding DeLon Wright right into the lotto ticket because it's pretty much what he is. And then kind of lastly, it would be Terry Rozier, I believe, did register 20 minutes in their last matchup, which was a blowout against the Magic. So if it is a blowout again and IT does get taken off the court, there's potential for Terry Rozier to go off.
That's a good call. That is a good call. Rozier in the blowout is interesting. It also makes me interested in Jaylen Brown. He's one of the first guys to get off the bench in a Celtics blowout and actually get some run. And he's pretty productive. I'm trying to find his price. 3.8.
Yeah, he's cheap. I'm into that.
Yeah. I mean, these are all guys in, by the way. You know, these punt plays are kind of GPP viable, really, only. We don't want to force ourselves onto these guys. But, you know, Jaylen Brown gets 15 to 20 minutes no matter what. And against the Magic, you know, you could definitely see him getting some extra run in the fourth quarter. All right, shooting guard. I think the value at shooting guard pretty much starts with a guy like Buddy Hield, who we know is going to be getting run. You know, Sacramento resting people for absolutely no reason. Buddy Hield getting 30 minutes pretty much in every single game in the last five. I think that he's viable. The perimeter defense in New Orleans doesn't really scare me at all. But on the opposite side of the ball too, you could go to that platoon of New Orleans shooting guards. You know, the what's his name? God, where
Solomon Hill?
No.
Better call Saul.
No, I don't know. We'll have to ask Josh if it's a Saul night.
Tim Frazier?
Tim Frazier.
My favorite.
Jordan Crawford, too. I think Jordan Crawford just is productive. We know we can attack. We can attack the two there in Sacramento. They give up massive numbers to the shooting guard there. But I also really, really still like Josh Richardson. He busted out a little bit against my New York just the other day. Of course, Lou Williams always in play.
What about the Utah shooting guards like Rodney Hood?
I like Rodney Hood. I don't love Rodney Hood in this matchup. I think Bradley Beal defense is real. And I, you know, compare that to Sacramento and New Orleans. The defense is just so much more high quality from a team perspective in the backcourt. So I'm not going to force it with Rodney Hood. And that's pretty much it, you know. I'll target one or two guys, but I think that you don't want to, on a large slate like this, you can get overwhelmed with choices. I mean, you just take narrow your pool. You know, I'm really going to narrow myself down to maybe just some. Where is he? Jordan Crawford is interesting to me. I think that if Nick Stauskas, if we get injuries in the Philadelphia game, I think you kind of have to get Nick Stauskas in there. He's been getting 30 minutes when they have limited guys out there to run. You know, and 30 minutes of Nick Stauskas is nothing extraordinary, but you could get yourself 18 points out of 30 Nick Stauskas minutes.
Timothy too, on the same narrative.
Exactly. Yeah, I think that if you have no Bob Cove, then I think you have to look at those guys. So that's about it for me. You know, there's a couple choices, but I think you could do well to spend in the fours here. You know, you don't really have to go to the threes too hard. You know, really nice options, and you know, Lou Williams and Josh Richardson right there in the mid fours. Don't really have to go much below that.
Yeah, I like both those guys.
Let's talk value small forward here. Ryan, what do you got?
All right. So aside from Marcus Morris, who kind of veers right on the – he can kind of qualify as either grout or bargain. Still love him here. Also, MKG, I like a lot in this spot. He's – I noticed he's playing Denver, and they're in the past 10 games the giving up the ninth most real points to the small forward position. And he's cheap now, and he's definitely been a lot more expensive throughout the season. He's had some games where recently that are worth noting, and he's definitely kind of due for regression, as we like to say a lot in our little crew. He hit that little bump last time, you know, Toronto. But before that, you know, 21, 28 FanDuel points, he's fine. He can hit value in this situation. I'm confident about that. Someone else I like a lot is Terrence Ross at Boston, who, I believe in the last 10 games, Boston has given up the seventh most FanDuel points to the small forward. Terrence Ross has been kind of hot recently. He specifically has been actually pretty consistent. I mean, in the past four games, 24.9, 29.8, 26.4, 28.2, and he's still only 4-4 on FanDuel. So all you're asking him for really is that low 20s score. And against Boston, and I know Crowder, you know, can put up a fight, but I don't feel concerned about it, especially with Terrence Ross being so hot from three recently and so consistent. I like that a lot. There's actually two more that I like. Tony Snell. I know no one wants to talk about Tony Snell, but he's been a great, he's apparently still, I keep finding these stats about Detroit that recently maybe it's just, what is it? Marcus Morris being lazy or
they're
like,
bad, man. They're real bad.
It's just, they're
really bad.
They bailed on the defense recently for some reason. Like, I mean, we've always been kind of like, oh, Detroit should be, you know, the Detroit forwards should be great against Milwaukee. And then now it's literally like in the past 10 games, it's actually the opposite, like the polar opposite, which is weird. But I kind of still want to play Chris Middleton just on, or not Chris Middleton, Marcus Morris, like on principle, but apparently Milwaukee's gotten way better. Detroit's gotten way worse. Snell is in a good spot. If Detroit really has been tanking that hard, I don't see why Snell couldn't get you value at 3,800. Matt Barnes is also interesting way down here. What's his price right now? Matt Barnes is is he
pretty far small down.
Where is he? How far down is he? 3,600? He's almost minimum salary. And he's at Houston, which, I mean, I can't imagine that Matt Barnes doesn't hit value at Houston.
He's a tough play. Like, he's super, like, volatile, so to speak. Like,
he's volatile in life and fantasy.
You know who Esther, I like? Sure, yeah. Let me run two value guys by you here. Let me get your thoughts on these two. Are we forcing it if we go with like a Marco Bellinelli, or if we go with Joe Johnson? You can go back to that well for sure, because he's going to be playing the four for Derek Favors against
Washington. Joe Johnson.
Yeah, I mean, I think Joe Johnson for me and Marco Bellinelli, both at 4-1, both have upside, both are veterans and old and generally shoot the ball well.
Yeah, I like both those plays, and in a higher scoring game with Denver, Bellinelli could go off. It's kind of been a situation where if Bellinelli goes off, he takes away from MKG and vice versa. And right. I kind of feel with Wilson Chandler and Danilo, I'm not 100% sure. Like, there's obviously not a stat you can look up on this particular thing, but will, you know, MKG get more run because you have two great small forwards going, or will, you know, Bellinelli come in and kind of play a larger role and play more minutes because you have both Danilo and Wilson Chandler? So that could impact both of them, but I do kind of like MKG. Bellinelli definitely, I feel like, has a lower floor, where MKG's like not much higher salary and you can get a little bit higher of a floor.
Yeah, it seems like Bellinelli's been getting, I mean, when he, you know, against Phoenix recently, for some reason, like, he's been getting the minutes though, and in a game like this with a pretty high over under, I'm sure he'll get enough run to hit value here, especially if you're, you know, if you're in a cash game. I don't necessarily think I would play him, but if as far as GPPs go, I can't imagine he doesn't get you what you need in this situation. He's got at least double digit points in his last 12 at least games, and the minutes are all over the place, and his fantasy points are all over the place too, so he's just kind of a wild card. But I do like it in this situation, especially against Denver.
Yeah.
A lot of games in the teens.
All right,
there.
value power forwards here on the slate. God, power forward is pretty rough. But I think that you're right when you say Amir Johnson is definitely in play in this situation. Obviously we know Scalabissier is going to get some run. He's been getting pretty consistent run in the last couple games, you know, kind of on off, excuse me, not it consistent, but if they're resting other players, you know, Anthony Tolliver or whatever the case may be, Labissiere is going to get 20 plus minutes. Do you?
Yeah.
It just makes me nervous, you know? Honestly, like, I don't really know when he's going to get 30 minutes.
Yeah. But, you know, I think that's definitely why his cost is lower, because, you know, he could go off, like, for a really nice game. You know, with AD and Boogie there, I mean, I'm not sure if that helps him with more minutes or if it's going to hurt him in terms of production.
Right. Yeah, no, that's a good call. So I think, honestly, Amir Johnson may be the only guy really down here that you feel like you could get decent production out of, you know, and he does well in plus matchups, and he gets 20 plus minutes in situations where, you know, the Boston is in control. He can give you 10 and 10, you know, he had 8 and 8 against Phoenix, you know, and that was a game that they controlled handily. You know, I don't think Amir Johnson is crazy. I don't love it, but I don't think it's crazy. But honestly, power forward may be a spot just based on positional scarcity that we pay up for, because I don't really want to risk a Markieff Morris or a
Jason Smith.
Jason Smith. I mean, yeah, none of these guys.
There is one guy I will say that was super interesting last game that did all right at the Rockets last time is David West. Did you see his game this past time? Like, right two spots below Amir. And he had 30 FanDuel points against San Antonio this past game. And they just fed him. And he was out there a lot.
That was revenge narrative, I think, right there.
Yeah, I know. But, like, I mean, still, 22 minutes at the Spurs. You were, like, what did he play before that? 14 minutes at the Rockets. Look how productive he was in the minutes that he's been playing. Ignoring the Memphis game because they're slow as fuck. The San Antonio, like, 22 minutes, 30 fantasy points. Houston, 14, 17 fantasy points. And then at Sacramento, he played 14 minutes, 25.6 fantasy points. Like, he's super productive. If they like what he did last game, and they're getting Houston now, who's obviously, this is going to be a very fast game again. And if they know what he can do in that short amount of time, he's definitely at least a GPP viable, you know, low cost power forward
for sure. Yeah, and I think it just goes back to Sean's point of, you know, kind of everything though down here, it is kind of a lotto ticket. There's no locks. Yeah. Like you can look and convince yourself on like Guancho or Lavoy Allen, or, you know, Jason Smith put up 20 against the Lakers recently. Are they going to get him some run? Like it's, I'm paying up here.
Yeah, I think that's right. All right, let's go into the special centers of the round table segment here, where everybody names their favorite center on the slate. And, you know, hey, we're not shy about paying up for centers at Lineup Logic. We like definitely our centers. Not. We like our centers, you know, and so it doesn't matter the price point. I will let you guys start first. Don't feel like you're going to steal, because anytime I look at a center slate, I can talk myself into about five different guys. So you're not going to steal my guy.
Yeah, I can do the same thing. I guess I'll hop on real quick maybe so I can steal Vooch against the Celtics.
Oh, do it. Do it. Oh,
so, I mean, Vooch has just been going crazy lately. I think that he is going to get a lot of minutes. Boston is terrible with rebounding, and I don't have the exact numbers up in front of me, but I'm sure they're not great DVP against the center, because, you know, you got Kelly the Clinic Olynyk and Amir. Just like I don't love them at the center position. So I think Vooch is not only going to be good for at least 10 boards, I think he's going to be good for 10 points at least. I think we're looking at like a 40 to 50 burger from Nikola tomorrow. And, you know, DraftKings, you got the double-double bonus, so I would definitely like him over there too.
All right, well, yeah. I'll take the cliche standpoint here and just take Boogie with the both the narrative perspective and the fact that Sacramento has given up the second most, just slightly behind Philadelphia against the center in the past 10 games, FanDuel point wise. I think that combination adds up nicely. I think that AD Boogie combination plus everybody knowing it's the narrative aspect of it and everything is fantastic for him. And I love playing Boogie when he's around, and I love playing him when I feel like he'll be underowned. Tomorrow I don't necessarily think he'll be underowned, but I'm just gonna put him out there as my top pick at center. I can pay down elsewhere.
Yeah, and I definitely started noticing Sacramento was giving up like huge points to the center position, but since they had Boogie earlier in the season, the DVP numbers just didn't catch up yet. And I think now that we got like, you know, a little more of a sample without Boogie, that they're kind of being exposed there.
Yeah, that's a great time to capitalize on it.
100%. I totally agree. So I love both of those guys. I guess I will go a little bit cheaper here. And I will go with a guy that I think, you know, you two are much more comfortable rostering than I am. I get a little skittish when I say this man's name, but I think that I'll get some resounding support for it. And that is Jonas Valanciunas.
Oh, yeah.
That was great. I typically go Jonas, you know, for my name is Jonas. Purposes only, but yeah, no, I like him too.
Jonas against Indiana. We know how bad Indiana is against the center. They just had Jonas 24 minutes. He puts up a double-double, 28 fantasy points against them. You know, he's the kind of guy like Rolo. Like, he'll throw down some real stinkers, some terrible games, and he'll keep his price down. And then every once in a while, he gets a nice matchup and you target him. He had 40 points against Charlotte. 30 minutes, 40 points. Double-double. I don't see any reason that he can't hit 5x here. 5-5, you only need, what, 27 points from him in this spot? I don't think there's any reason that we can't pencil in 5x. Now, of course, my heart tells me that Vooch and Boogie are in really good spots. And my heart also tells me, by the way, that Rudy Gobert is in a good spot in this situation. But I would prefer Rudy, I think, if Gordon Hayward is out for whatever reason, which Gordon Hayward seems like he's, you know, back in the game and feeling better.
And Rudy's 9K.
Yeah, God, man.
Drummond too, though. Drummond is actually a pretty good option. I think Milwaukee has not been great, like, DVP-wise against the center. And if you're looking to save a little bit of money to pay up at, like, power forward and, you know, point guard, you might need to go down just a little bit from like the Boogie and Gobert territory.
Yeah, I think that's a good call. All right, so those are that's our center selection, right? Not hard. We got a lot of centers that we like here. All right, so what we're going to do now is we're going to build a little bit of a cash game lineup. We're going to try to lock in. Let's do this. Everybody take one of their favorite plays, you know, your favorite play on the slate, don't care what position it is, got to have them type guy, get them in there, and then we'll build out the rest of it with the player pool that we just talked about. And Ryan, you got to start.
All right. So let's see. A power forward. Small forward.
Well, it can be any position, I think, here. We're just looking,
any
right?
Any position. Yeah. Take anything.
Oh, okay. All right.
Like number one overall pick in tomorrow's fantasy draft.
Okay. I will say, man, I really like Kawhi. I'm going to say Kawhi. That would be my number one.
All right. It's the first pick in the fantasy draft. It's Kawhi Leonard, 9'4", small forward, San Antonio. All right, Scott, what do you got?
I'm actually very happy that a center dropped out of the first round. So we'll definitely lock in Vooch here.
Vooch monster, 8'1", love an 8K center in a plus matchup. All right. I'm gonna go with the power forward here. I feel like we gotta have James Johnson. I love him. He's got neck tattoos. He's got 40-point upside.
Yes, great neck tattoos.
All right, yeah, and great neck tattoos. All right, coming back around to you, Ryan.
All right, let's see. I'm gonna go. One guy I really like down here is there's no order to the salary aspect of this, right? It's just your favorite plays.
Just keep in mind the average salary. Like right now, there's about $6K left per spot on this current team.
Okay. Let's see. I like. Ooh man, these are some good ones. I really like Middleton here.
Okay.
I'll go Middleton.
Chris Middleton, that's interesting. That he will come low owned, no question in my mind.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, what do you got, Scott?
Let's throw in some Kemba maybe, just as the last kind of above 6K guy, and then we can kind of build the value. But I think we'll need to at least pay up for the mid range for one point guard.
Yeah, I think that's a good call. And by the way, hey, Goran Dragic had 44 points against the Knicks the other night. We didn't talk about him.
Yeah, but it's tough. The only reason I didn't include him is you never know if he's going to go off for 30 points or if Tyler Johnson's going to go off for 30 points. So it's a little risky. You know, that's the only reason why I don't always have a lot of Dragic.
Dragic. All right. Well, we got Kemba in there. Let's do that. Let's look at some of this value at shooting guard because we don't like the value at power forward. Let's look at some of this value at shooting guard. And I think that we could honestly take let's go Jordan Crawford as one of our real cheap plays. Twos against Sacramento is a thing. He's been getting really good run. I think he's a solid play. So Jordan Crawford is in there for me. We may need some more value plays in here. Let's get another value play and we'll see where we go. Ryan, what do you got for value?
All right, let's see. Value. See, I'm so focused on small forward. I can't decide. But I think why don't we plug in just for the sake of saving money in the other two spots right now, since we don't like the value of power forward. Let's plug in the only value we like at power forward and take Amir at 4K. So that let's do 7,350 at the other two positions and see what you guys do with that.
Nice. That's a good call. Okay. So we got some cash to spend. We could either do a DeMar and then a value point guard, or we could do maybe some mid-tier action for both guys. Where do you want to go with this, Scott?
Yeah, I was just kind of playing around. Like, I think Like, I tried to squeeze in both Batum and IT, both, you know, one of our plays, but it comes, it's basically where we'd be 100 over cap on that particular
only alignment. $100?
Yeah, so I mean, like,
oh my
God. Kawhi,
I have $100. I could pay it.
Yeah, dude. Let's just, for that, I want that. Wait, hold on. Let's see if we can do that, because that is nice.
It's sexy.
Oh, wait. No, you know what we could do? 6,200. You know who's 6,200, who's below there, is either Avery Bradley or Gary Harris. We could go with either one of those guys.
Ooh, Gary Harry. I'm on
board
with
Harry,
that.
Gary. Yeah, I like
you
that.
Know, it would be a somewhat decent mini stack with IT, Avery, and Amir, but also if it's a blowout, you might not want those three all together. So I think Gary would be a hairy play.
All right. So there it is. So I like this. Okay. So IT and Kemba, then Gary Harris, Gare Bear, and Jordan Crawford. That's our top. And then it's Kawhi, Chris Middleton, James Johnson, Amir Johnson, and Vucevic. So this is a pretty balanced lineup, guys, to be honest with you.
I like it.
Yeah, it's Giannis-ly a really balanced lineup, and you know I like that.
Did you say Giannis-ly?
I may have, but I like the fact that we're not reaching over 10K for anyone really. You know, it's kind of balanced 1.9K, 1.8K, 1.7. You know, kind of, well 2.8, but you know it's kind of a nice blendy guy.
Yeah. I think that's a good call. I think we've got some really nice balance pieces here, you know, and a really kind of a nice exposure to all of these games. You know, we can toy with it. You know, I think that there's probably some ways that you could get yourself onto some of these studs if you wanted to, you know, spend down in a couple spots. Maybe you could find yourself with a little bit of exposure to maybe a Steph, you know. I think we could figure out how to get Steph. In fact, now that I'm looking at it, hold on one second.
I'm sure if you drop down from Vooch a little bit or drop down from Kawhi a little bit, like maybe, you know, one possibility would go Drummond and not drop down on Kawhi and then pay up for Steph.
Yeah, yeah.
Something that I can see here.
Yeah, you can also go down off of, you could go down to one of our value small forwards, like a Joe Johnson, for example. Go down to a Joe Johnson and get Steph in there, and then you have room for, you know, maybe even a little bit more at shooting guard. That might work too. There's some interesting pivots out here, guys. And of course,
yeah,
you know,
I think this just confirms for me, like, the Kemba IT stack, I think, with their cost, is going to be pretty juicy for me. I'll probably have that on a few of my lines because you're not spending that 10K that you usually pay for the Walls and, you know, the Stephs and the Russes, but you're still getting high point potential there.
Yeah, you are getting plenty of upside there, that's for sure. Yeah, and now that I'm toying with it even a little bit more, I found room for Boogie. Boogie is pretty easy to fit in here as well at 9.6. It's a really good price for him too. You could go with the Kemba IT stack and then add Boogie in there and oof, baby, that's nice.
Very nice.
It's very juicy.
Very juicy. All right, dudes. Hey, where can people find you on Twitter, Scott?
You can find me at DFS Kingsguard. You know, I try to put out as much of the news that I can find as soon as it drops. You know, I hate those late scratches, especially this time of the year. And you can also find us in the Patreon page. We got the Slack channel going. It's been great. All the patrons so far are really fun to talk with. And we all talk plays and tilt together. And, you know, we got a special lobby just for tilting. And it's amazing. So I mean, it's a great time, and it's great to build a little community over here, you know?
Yeah, for sure. And Ryan, where can people find you?
I'm on Twitter as @DFSSpectre. That's with an R-E at the end. I have I'm on my computer all day because I work on my computer in Photoshop for my actual full time living, and I have the benefit of being able to have Slack open, and so I chat all day, and like the past few days since we got the Slack really pumping, KG and I have been in there just chatting throughout the day constantly. Honestly, from the there's messages, like I wake up in the morning and I look at my phone and like dudes are already talking, and there's just constant discussion about the slate, whether it's a 3-game slate or a 12-game slate, or I mean, it's just it's awesome, and awesome discussion and help from everyone. The cheat sheet has been just kicking ass recently, and I mean, constantly since we started, and I love it. And yeah, I've really enjoyed being a part of it. And it will start up again tomorrow morning, just like we do every day.
Yeah. And we appreciate you guys out there too.
Yeah, man. It's the tilt is here, for me tonight.
My screensaver is on right now, and I'm very scared to take the screensaver off and see what is happening beneath it, but I'm going to wait until we're off air to do that.
Yeah. I mean, I guess my thing is that I wish more was happening, especially in my power forward positions. I'm just not really getting a lot of good production. I like on a night when a lot of guys are going 6x, I'm just not getting those guys.
Who did you have in power forward?
I've got Al-Farouq Aminu and Tobias Harris, who are both pretty much on track for 20 something.
Yeah, Toby was rough.
Toby. Why would you start a basketball player named Toby?
and that's funny on so many levels. But yeah, I'm getting Lou Williams and Jamal Crawforded right now. Like, I was looking good going into these later games, but this lineup's at 293.3, so I guess I can't complain, but I'm still a little tilty.
Tilty McGilty. Yeah, this is not my favorite night of but hey, what are you gonna do? We're gonna get there. We're gonna figure this out. Guys, cheat sheet up tomorrow, so keep your eyes peeled. And hey, new cheat sheet subscription date coming on April 1st. So if you're interested in getting in there April, please join us. We would love to have you guys. That is it, guys. Thank you for helping me out here. And to all the listeners, good luck in your contest, and we will see you tomorrow.